Greetings in Christ's name. There are many of you who've been married much longer than my wife and I have been. But even in 5 years' time, we have come a long way, I would say, in learning to understand each other. In fact, sometimes we know what the other is thinking before we say or do anything to show it. And so generally I see this as a good thing. But of course, there can be at times when it's perhaps a little bit annoying if I'm the one that's grumpy and don't want to show it or talk about it, or you know how it is. But no matter how well we think we know our spouse, we still don't even come close to how well God knows and understands us. Sometimes we're not only confusing to our spouse, we are even confusing to ourselves. We don't understand why we're made the way we are, why we think the way we do, why we struggle the way we do, or why we can't just be like Jim or Jill sometimes. Psalms 139 describes how intimately God knows each one of us better than our spouse knows us or our best friend, and much better than we know ourselves. So turn, if you would, to Psalm 139. Actually, this psalm can be very comforting to us if we are right with God, or it can be terrifying to us if there are things in our lives that we are trying to hide from God. I'll highlight some of the themes here in this passage before I read it. The first theme is in the first six verses, and is that God knows everything about me. The second theme is that God is everywhere. I cannot hide from God. And then the verses 13 through 18 approximately, the theme there is that God created me in wonderful and amazing ways. And in 19 through 22, God knows I have separated myself from the evil that entices me. And finally, the last two verses are a plea to God to search me and test my heart. So I'll read the whole chapter, Psalms 139. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast set me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings in the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So, going to the start, the first six verses. God has searched me and knows everything about me. He knows when I sit down. He knows when I get up. He knows even my thoughts before I speak them. And he also encircles me from verse 5 and places his hand on me. So I truly echo what David said in verse 6, that he can't understand or fathom these wonderful ways of God. How can God know everything about me and you and you and you and you and everyone else on this earth? I can't fathom that. So not only does God know everything, God is everywhere. David asked the question, where can I escape God's presence? The answer is nowhere. Not even if I travel to the furthest star in outer space, not even if I descend into the lowest depths in this earth, or even if I fly to the eastern horizon or live in the uttermost depths of the sea. Because even there, God's hand leads me and holds me. In fact, God can see us just as well in the nighttime, in the darkness, as he can in the daytime. They're both alike to him. So to us as Christians, this is very comforting. God does not send us anywhere where he won't be there already. But God does not promise that we will not need to pass through the waters, if you will, but he does promise that we will not go through it alone. Isaiah 43:22, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. So God does promise to be there before us and with us. And I'm thinking especially of the events of the last two weeks, with the death of Brother David L. And especially for you, his family, and I guess for all of us, I'm sure there have been times when it has felt like we've been walking through the waters and through the fire. But take heart. God promises here, I will be with you. And there's no place where we can escape his presence. Going on to the next section in verses 13 and on. These verses explain one other reason why God knows us completely. When I was in my mother's womb, God was carefully knitting me together. You know, even before I was the size of a blueberry, if you will, in my mother's womb, with my arms and legs maybe looking like paddles more than hands and feet, then God was creating me and was involved in, was intricately weaving me in who he wanted me to be. In fact, in verse 16, it says that God even saw me long before he formed me in my mother's womb. Our response should be as expressed in verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. In the New English Translation, it says in verse 17, how difficult it is for me to fathom your thoughts about me, O God. How vast is their sum total. So it says it a little differently, perhaps, than King James, but I kind of like the spin that it puts on it, how difficult it is for me to fathom your thoughts about me. If any of you are like me, then you wonder sometimes why God made you the way he did. Why is this so hard for me and for my brother? It looks simple. And yeah, etc. But often when I'm having trouble accepting who God made me to be, I'm not believing that what he says about me is true. And this can be one of the applications from this verse. When I'm having difficulty fathoming God's thoughts about me, or accepting that God's thoughts about me are true, then it's hard for me to accept God's fingerprints in how he has molded and is shaping my life. I've often wondered why verses 19 through 22 are included in this psalm. Why did David include this plea to God to slay the wicked in the middle of this beautiful prayer, inviting God to search his heart? I think a clue perhaps is verse 19, where he commands the bloodthirsty men to depart from him. So David wants nothing to do with the evil men that tempt him with wickedness. And so I think part of it is, I think he's telling God he has separated himself from the sin or from the evil that entices him. These were things that maybe, well, possibly they were trying to get him involved in as well, or could be. So can we say the same? Have we separated ourselves from the sin that entices us? So David concludes with this beautiful prayer, the last two verses. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Brother David L. publicly mentioned these verses as part of his testimony very recently here. Is this your testimony as well? God, search me and test my heart and see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. In conclusion, since God intricately created me in wonderful and amazing ways, he knows every detail of my life. If this wasn't hard enough to comprehend, then God is also everywhere. I can go nowhere while I'll escape the presence of God. My prayer is that all of us can experience the intimacy of knowing God and allow him to search us and to cleanse us from anything that separates us from him. Let's bow our heads in prayer.